All right, what's up, guys? It's Gutex, and we got a part of a panel from the Esports Business Summit, day one that I was at today. This panel is about learnings from implementing a conference-wide esports program from Chris Schneider. This is only about the last like 15 minutes or so, but I felt like it was worth sharing because I still got a lot out of it. So enjoy, more to come.
Okay, 2009. So it's lasted for 10 years. You look at a title like PUBG, which blew up out of the gate. Unfortunately for PUBG, Fortnite came along shortly thereafter. So Fortnite has done well. But it's, you know, when you're developing a championship, what titles do you choose? So what was the process for you guys like in determining what that would be for the Big East?
I think it goes back to us as going back to our schools. What players do you have? If we're going to put this together, what are the titles that you're seeing? And again, in that pilot program, it was a matter of some of our institutions just going down to the rec hall and put it up a sign and say, who plays what game? And the easiest one and the most popular from that initial group was obviously League of Legends. So that made it very easy for us to say, okay, this is what we need to do, reach out and work with Sherman and his team. It has been great for us to start with that. We also looked at Rocket League. And we were able to work with Rocket League in our pilot program and last year as well. Those two titles seem to be pretty popular with our students. And the interesting piece is, if this is presidential driven, you kind of have to think about the presidents that you're talking to. And I'll never forget in the board meeting with our 10 presidents and the president of Villanova, Father Peter Donahue, in his collar, in the boardroom, I'm explaining to him what we're doing in esports, how we're growing, how we want to broadcast and get some of these games on Twitch, explaining Twitch. And he's on his iPad. He pulls up Twitch. He starts watching a Call of Duty. And the way he reacted, just because that was what he thought everything was esports. And no, Father Peter, I need you to put that down and just listen to us. And so that's kind of one of the challenges when you talk about titles. Again, we're going to go back to what's being played on campus. But we have an aspect that we have to make sure that if we are participating in a game, that we put a big esports brand connected to it that our presence will support it.
And does that mean first-person shooter games are something that you're intentionally steering clear of?
At this point, I think it's definitely a discussion point with our presidents. Now, we look at that from the perspective of a conference brand. So that doesn't mean our institutions can't participate in events in first-person shooter. So we have that model in traditional sports now. We have institutions in our conference in the Big East, Providence College. They have hockey. We don't have hockey, so they're allowed to go participate in another conference in hockey, and we don't stop that. And I think that's really one of the things that conferences need to be very flexible at this point, as we're still continuing to develop, to be open to different opportunities to play different titles.
I think Kurt Melcher, who is in the room and works for a company called Intersport, that did a really extensive sort of probe into the viability of esports falling under the NCAA umbrella. We haven't really done a deep dive into this, Kurt, but I would imagine that one of the points of consternation was the fact that in traditional esports, at least for right now, maybe changing, you can't be paid for your name, image, and likeness. There really can't be any money involved. Whereas in, say, League of Legends Collegiate Championship, or at least on the way, or Overwatch, there are cash scholarships that are awarded for the best of the best. When you were discussing what the prize should be for your League of Legends champions, where did money come into that conversation?
It's a hard topic for us, obviously, because of the NCAA model. And so we treat it just like any other championship that we do. We don't provide cash prizes for basketball players, so we didn't do it for League of Legends. They got the same trophies, but not a cash prize. But this is a conversation that, as we look at this and continue to grow an esports program, and mention the name, image, and likeness issue at the NCAA level, we're very much involved in that discussion and monitoring that. And I think we need to open again to the collegiate model, because we have to watch our representation when we have basketball players under one set of rules. If this is going to be housed under Big East Conference with our logo, we have to be very cognizant of that. Now, we have had discussions about how would we handle a cash prize. And I think, you know, there's some openness to the discussion that we would treat it just like, you know, the NCAA basketball tournament. So on the men's side, units are earned. That money is paid through the conference and passed through the institutions, and they can determine how they use those dollars. So right now it's very strict in terms of the NCAA, but I think there's an openness to see, you know, what can we do in the future.
So from an optics standpoint, the Big East Esports Championships are running through athletics, essentially. I mean, or is that not fair to say? Because, I mean, technically, you oversee all of the Big East Sports Championships, and so from an optics standpoint, the way I would view it is, well, the Big East looks at esports as sports.
Optically,
yes?
You're right.
No,
well, so
maybe?
Yeah, so optically, you're right, and this is where it's a very interesting situation to be in. So we also do things that are outside of the traditional sports side that are programs for our universities. We'll run an enrollment fair for the admissions departments. And so we'll help our universities drive enrollment. We did a startup challenge, and that was kind of a Shark Tank version. So it's
support entrepreneurship.
To do that. So we do some things that are separate, but this one, obviously, I think because of the global and the national view of esports, is going to be perceived as a Big East athletic supported event, even though our campuses may not be operating under an athletic department. So it's very much a blurred line when we talk about where is this currently sitting.
Do you have a personal opinion as to whether esports is or should be considered sports?
I would say it is sports. But what I find interesting is the difference in the dynamics of the culture itself. I think when I'm working with our campuses and we talk to the people that are working with their programs specifically, they're really about growing the participants on their campus at all levels, at a competitive level, at a social level. There's really a lot of university-wide engagement. In athletics, we have a good basketball team at Villanova. They're not about growing basketball players on their campus. So their focus is going to be on their team. So I think that's one of the differences that I see. I see that the gaming community is much more about growing a much larger pool and a much more involved group than necessarily athletics. I think athletics is so very specific.
I want to talk about brands and sponsorship for a second. Any brand who wants to be able to reach the college audience, it's tougher than you might think to be able to get on campus. You typically have to go through IMG, Learfield. There are lots of restrictions. Because esports doesn't technically fall under the purview of the NCAA, if a brand wants to sponsor an esports team, they can pretty much do what they want. You can put a logo on a jersey. You can have an esports athlete representing that brand. Has there been any discussion at the league level about, you know, whether it's your pre-existing Big East sponsors who might be interested in doing an incremental spend as a way to get on campus in an even more meaningful way to maybe a different part of the student body?
We've certainly had those conversations. Now, the challenge is at the conference level, the only assets that we really control are a broadcast, around a Big East event or a championship. We don't have access to control those rights on each individual campus. So we face this exact same challenge in traditional sports. We don't have a league-wide athletic deal with Nike. Each institution does that. We have a conference arrangement, but we don't have access to the assets on each campus. And that's what a lot of sponsors want. And so that becomes one of the challenges. And we have worked with, we're with the Fox Sports Media Group, and so we work with our traditional sponsors. And that's where we're kind of starting this as a new phase of what we're calling a kind of a reset of esports. The first 2 years were annual approvals by the president. And one of the challenges with that is the sponsorship aspect. If you want a sponsor, you need to be able to show there's more than just a one-year commitment. So that's when we went back to the president and said, if we want to stay in this space, we need a three-year commitment. And so So the presidents have given us that. So now our hope is that moving forward, we're going to be able to line up some sponsorships to help offset some costs to our institutions.
I want to leave time for one or two questions if you have them. But I personally think there is a huge opportunity to tackle diversity and inclusion through esports. What is the Big East doing from the league level to create programming around this and to encourage its member institutions to really pay attention to what the possibilities are to have men and women on the same stage?
Yeah, that's one of the five pillars that our presidents have sent down to us. Inclusion was one of them. They really want us to build out on our next, you know, iteration of esports over this next 3 years is making sure that all underrepresented communities have access to participate. And again, that's going to be us driving down to our conference, to our members, saying, when you're going through the recruiting process to build your teams, what are you doing to identify these underrepresented groups? But also, are there certain game titles that we need to be playing? Are there things that you know, more women do participate in? Because when we did our initial survey of membership of our programs, it was 96% male. And that's what we saw the first year. We're seeing a little bit of a slide in that, but not much. But how can we, as a league, what I think we'd like to do is do, sure, back there, maybe we'll talk about this later, but you know, we want to do maybe a men's league and a women's league in League of Legends.
Out of curiosity, because I don't know the answer to this, as you were doing that research, is there one title where there is more participation from women or from minorities?
Not that we've seen yet. So if anybody has that data, I'm here.
Look at this.
And that's the thing, I'm here to learn from everybody in this room because, you know, like I said, we don't have, these are not perfect answers. We're doing the best we can. So I'm here to learn from everybody. So if there's something out there, I'll be here to talk about it.
Yes.
So what are the other four colors?
So game content is one. We talked about it earlier. We have a lot of institutions that are concerned about, you know, the first-person shooter aspect of it. So we have to develop a process for game approval. Amateurism, or the collegiate model, we talked about earlier, is a big component. Sportsmanship is one. In our pilot program, and even last year, I was kind of caught off guard about some of the comments and the content that go in-game and that interaction. It's really interesting that in traditional sports, it seems like it's easier for us to address that. It seems to be a little bit harder in esports, or for us, we don't know yet how to do that. And I know there's some organizations out there that we're hoping that can help us. Student athlete wellness is one. We just did our third student athlete well-being forum, where we focus on mental health. We'll talk about sleep as students at the university. So our goal is to make sure that we're taking those same messages and applying to those participants in esports.
And I didn't get too deep into this because I know it will be covered during the other sessions of this workshop. But, you know, if you're out there, is there anybody here from a university or from a conference who's considering starting a program? Yeah. What I will say is, you know, having done the documentary for UCI, there are a lot of similarities in infrastructure required if you're gonna do it right. Nutrition is important, hydration is important, sleep is important, strength and conditioning is important, mental health is very much, because when you think about a lot of these kids, they're growing up playing what's called solo queue, they're playing by themselves. Collegiate is their first opportunity to play as a team, and there are all sorts of pressures and nuances from a psychological standpoint that come with that. So all of the things that, you know, if I said that to you, you're like, oh, that's for a football team, that's for a tennis team. It's for an esports team, too, and it's something that I think is a really valuable part of that conversation. One last question? Yes.
So I was wondering, Chris, how many schools, we talked about speaking with the other conferences, well, how many schools do you think you're representing, how many students, and how many schools do students fall outside of that umbrella?
I don't know if I can say exactly like in my role, but I'll give you this as an example. We just hosted the conference championship sports summit in July. And that's where everybody in my position at 28 of the 31 Division I conferences were there. And I gave a presentation on esports. Not one of them was jumping to say, we have to do this, we have to get in. And that's really an interesting perspective. I think that's just because of people in my role. for this to continue to grow, I think it needs that presidential, that academic level support really to push this. So I really can't answer from a Division I perspective where the progress might be.
From what I've heard, if it's at all helpful, I've had discussions with athletics directors and folks in administration across the country. I think most universities are already stretched from a bandwidth perspective, and while they may see the value in esports and integrating that into athletics, they're just like, that's one more thing that we have to deal with, and we're not sure we have the ability to do it. So that is a part of the conversation. We're getting a hard wrap from John here, so thank you so much for all of your insight, and Chris will be around if you have any questions.
Thank you all very much.